Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best on Blog Talk Radio with Right Living. I'm Kate Holmquist.
And I'm Rachel Zwell.
And we're glad to be with you for a special show for the singles. Normally you have Dr. Bob Wright on a Wednesday, but a couple cool things are happening. The Heart of the Fight is now in people's hands, Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright's new book for couples. It's about 15 common fights that couples have, but speaking from the single perspective, it is completely applicable for anyone who has relationships of any kind. And so we're really excited to be talking about the principles covered there. They're not only about the heart of the fight, they're also about the heart of the work we do here at the Wright Foundation in teaching people principles of responsibility and consciousness and all the good things we teach throughout. They're woven throughout the book. So we wanted to tee up the conversation or participate in the conversation that's happening around the launch of this book by talking about engagement. And particularly in the book, Bob and Judith present 7 rules of engagement that work for couples. That's great if you're with somebody, seeing somebody long-term or in a committed relationship, but they just work as rules for life as well. So I'm not going to tell you all 7 of them right now, but we're going to touch on them as they come up in our conversations with callers today and their questions about how to engage, whether it's from the first moment out of the gate in a dating relationship or on down the line to something more long-term. So we're glad you're here, and we're also glad to have our first caller.
Absolutely. So we've got Alicia on the line, and Alicia asks, well, she said, I don't want to wait and to waste my time with someone who isn't interested in the deeper connections, and what are some of the signs that people are also interested in deeper connections, and I can connect with them that way. So Alicia, tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, hi, thank you. So I guess my question just, you know, comes from my, like, yearning to connect deeply. And I just feel like I sometimes think that this being able to connect in that way should be an innate thing. And so sometimes I get impatient if I'm not, like, seeing a deeper connection growing. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, how much should I have to push for that and how much of it should be natural and just is a sign that maybe things aren't working out.
Wow, great question.
Yeah.
Well, right away what strikes me, Alicia, is you've hit on one of the myths of relationships in general. This is another part of the Heart of the Fight book, but there are a bunch of myths that you're in the territory of right now, just the myth of chemistry, the myth of there being the one. When you ask about, like, should it just be more natural, you're stepping in a danger zone in a way. I think most of us underestimate how hard it is to be in a relationship and really the number of skills that are involved. I think most of us underestimate how hard most things are, how many things in our life are systems. Like, for example, me getting out of the house on time in the morning. That probably involves 100 little calculations. And if you stop to think about it or you realize you have a problem with it, you are able to sort of peel back the layers and say, there are 100 different things I do to get out of the house on time in the morning. But somehow in the realm of relationships, we think we're like bad relationshippers if we actually have to strategize or sort of cut things into little segments and look at how we're going about them, or if we just want a different level of it, which is so not true. So just want to lay that out to start with and say, great that you're asking the question.
Yeah.
And no, it shouldn't be more natural. That might happen, but let's talk about the skills.
It's a little reframe also of what, you know, what it means for something to be hard or be easy, you know, versus the sort of the you know, conventional wisdom of, you know, good thing, like it's easy for something, it's good for something to be easy and it's bad for something to be hard.
Right.
We're turning that upside down and saying, no, you know, a lot of the most fulfilling things in life are challenging. You know, when I when I work really hard for something and I get what I want, that's not a bad thing. But that said, I'd love to hear a little bit more just about what it is that you want in it, Alicia. What is it that you're after when you say deeper connection?
Right. Well, I really like, you know, what you said about the myths of relationships, because I think that does kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, I have this, like, assumption that there needs to be a chemistry that, like, shows potential of, like, having a deep connection. And I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of looking for someone who I can really, like, feel comfortable with, and it's really easy to be myself with them. And so I guess maybe I'm just, like, being a little impatient, and that is something that, you know, you have to work on.
Well, I have a different analysis.
Yeah.
I don't think it's impatient. It's you're looking at the wrong person to do this job of you feeling secure, comfortable connection. It's not the job of anyone you want to date. It's your job. We spend a ton of time on this. And the rule of engagement, would this be the 100% rule, Rachel?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
So the rule is that everyone gets 100% responsibility mm-hmm. for their own satisfaction. And it's not, that's how the rule is written, but it's not just your own satisfaction.
Right.
Everyone gets 100% responsibility for being known in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is 100% mm-hmm. responsible for being delighted by the dates that you have together.
Right, right.
And the list goes on.
And it goes on with, you know, something we've said in the past is be the person that you want to date. It's like, you know, if I want to be known, then it's my job to be, if I want him to be open so that I can share myself, then, you know, I'm the one who probably needs to be open and vulnerable and just share myself, and
mm-hmm.
he may follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a big piece there. What are you thinking,
mm-hmm.
Catherine?
I really like that. I like that kind of like forcing myself to be the open and vulnerable one, and just kind of like hoping that that gets reciprocated.
Well, and you can go beyond hope. I'm in my own sort, having just come to the end of a relationship, about where I didn't expect a person to connect with me. So, you know, there are a lot of ways we could define connection. A lot of the world defines it as kind of the romantic spark, the physical chemistry, the, you know, we could talk all night. And so now I have this very recent experience of feeling like some of those things are there, but some places where it really mattered for someone to reach back out to me and try to connect to me were missing. So, for example, being curious about my work or something else that was going on. That's the thing I held in my mind was always missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair to say too late, but really late in these conversations I had with this gentleman was I saying, you know, I really want you to be more curious about my work. And I've got to learn that he actually thought it was sort of an off-limits topic. It's private. It's people's personal work. And I got to sort of, you know, we had this interesting dialogue about that's somewhere where I want you to take an interest, where I felt like there was a connection missing, but I hadn't specifically made my yearning clear to be known and understood in this particular realm.
Yeah. Well, in that light, are there any areas where you're wanting more, specific areas where you're thinking, I want connection more here. I want him to engage on this there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that I just, like, want to be understood, and so I want to feel like someone is genuinely curious about, like, what matters to me and, like, what's important in my life.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
And so that's the point at which you really have to take the 100% responsibility perspective for it to work.
Yeah.
Where if you don't feel like someone is generating that, you said earlier, just kind of knowing yourself or like bringing yourself out in this case would mean saying, I really want you to ask me questions, or, you know, I really want to be with someone who's curious about me.
Yeah.
Like, what questions do you have? And then if you find you're sitting across from a person who doesn't want to play that way, you've got a different relationship thing to sort out.
Yeah.
But if you haven't really said, this is what I want, then you haven't given them the ability to respond in a way that maybe he's capable of and willing to do, but just hasn't known that that's your desire.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's beautiful. I really like, you know, the idea of being really kind of upfront and honest and just doing it yourself and then just kind of seeing if it follows.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also just wanted to say this is some vulnerable stuff here. It really can be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only mm-hmm. vulnerable to say, I don't like this or I want more of you here.
Yeah.
It's vulnerable to just say, you know, I'm imagining being a teenager and that feeling of everybody's joking around and teasing mm-hmm. each other, and to just say, no, this is important to me. I care about, I don't know, my family. Anything that I care about can
mm-hmm.
be vulnerable to open up that tender space.
Yeah.
And I just want to honor, like, your deeper yearnings here. You know, you want to be known. You want to be understood. You want to really be deeply connected with someone. And even that in itself is vulnerable. You're engaging in a world where most people engage on the surface. and you're asking to go deeper. And the vulnerability is in, you know, going there yourself and seeing if he will join you there. And the more that you practice that muscle of doing that, the stronger you get in terms of also, you know, affirming yourself or saying, you know what, I'm still okay, even if he doesn't meet you there. And just practicing, you know, getting better at going to that place of vulnerability. It's a skill that we actually practice here with something called, you know, life assignments, where we do it a little bit at a time.
Right.
And I would just add to that.
Cool. Alicia, I would just add, I don't know if this is your situation, but I think a lot of us don't go there. There's a general fear of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And in general, I want to, you know, applaud everyone who ever calls in and asks a question and dares to kind of tweak their relationship this way. But I think most of us don't do that in our dating relationships because some part of us believes that if I really asked for what I want, I wouldn't have the guy, or, you know, it wouldn't work out. Mm-hmm. Or if I really revealed myself, they wouldn't want to be with me. Or if I really got to the bottom of who he is in this realm, I would find that we're not compatible in some way, or some problem would be revealed. And I just think it's a heroic effort for people who are dating, people who are in, you know, more established couples to do. And the stories of people who over their time being coached as a couple or in a long-term relationship who've really done this and had the difficult questions, I feel like they are Olympian level relationshippers to dare to sort of like go so deep with a person that you can go, wow, that's what you really think about the world? This doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Or that's what you really think about me? This isn't gonna fly, and I'm either willing to work with that or I'm not. Like, you know in your heart that that's where these conversations go, is to those really hard questions.
Yeah.
And I think point blank bottom line, that's why most of us don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't know how, it's that we're afraid of what will turn up.
Yeah.
And so
we're afraid of losing what we've got.
Yeah.
So we don't take the risks to, you know, create what we could have or what we really want.
So the how to do it is what we coach you on tactically, but there's almost just this decision to be made of, like, I really want to know what I'm made of, I really want to know what he's made of, and I really want to know how much we're in this together, I think, is the come from to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Cool.
Well, wonderful.
Cool. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you do call back and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, you too.
Great.
Yeah,
thanks,
you're welcome.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, I am just I'm just really relating to her right now.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm thinking of I am getting to the point where I'm telling more truths to the guy that I'm dating at this moment, and noticed how difficult it's been for me in the early stages to really say that, and how I hit this point where I suddenly, you know, get more comfortable and it all starts to come out. And on the one hand, it feels good because I see how much more known I am. You know, we had two fights, fairly significant fights this weekend.
Rock on.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you know, at one point, he jokingly called me domineering, and I just got so scared about it that's a way that I could be perceived.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's like if that's how I'm perceived when I'm really going for what I want, then I'm going to be okay with that.
Right. Right. And well, and you've talked in other places about what a win that is for you.
Yeah.
And you're, to me, what you're getting at is how cool dating is as a playground of personal development.
Yeah.
And so you get to be with yourself enough to know, wow, there's a time in my young life where it was so not okay for me to be bossy or to own a room that I shut that all down, and yay me that's getting teased up in relation to this guy. He's seeing you. He's reading you accurately. He's reflecting you back to you, and you get to decide, is this who I am? This is who I want to be?
Yeah. And literally, you know, I see where I relate to Alicia is in, you know, my journey, even within one relationship. You know, 8 weeks ago on a date, I was afraid to say what I wanted at a restaurant.
Yes.
And then I think it's like the more that I disclose the more comfortable I feel. You know, I create that sense of comfort. And then there comes a point where I'm going to say anything and everything that I want.
Is it comfort, Rachel, or is it trust? It's at a higher level.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you're uncomfortable as you're saying these things.
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm not. It's not that I'm completely comfortable as I'm saying it. It's also I do have this sort of feeling, but there's a sense of sort of there's a little bit of certainty within me of just, you know, this is what I feel and I'm okay to say it.
I'm more uncomfortable not being who I know I am than I am saying this thing.
Exactly. Whereas on an early date, I was, you know, I was so scared of losing something that I was more uncomfortable with saying it. So that's one thing I'm working on is getting to that point earlier, earlier and earlier as I date. So,
well, and that gets us to rule of engagement number 5, express and agree with the truth always.
Yeah.
So you're working on your expression of the truth. Where this rule applies in terms of couples is if you're having one of those fights, I don't know what you had your fight over the weekend, but chances are there was some truth in what he was saying.
Yeah.
And so this rule says, you know, you always want to start your response with acknowledging the truth of what they're saying.
Right.
And agree with the truth. Don't drive people crazy by the tit for tat. You know, if they say you always do this, the answer is not, no, I don't do that always. There are like 2 times that I didn't do that. You want to acknowledge what's true about what they're saying. That's how you make your relationship the biggest playground for your self-revelating.
Yeah.
So,
cool. Absolutely. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should go to our next question. We have a question from one of our online viewers. And David asked, what are good topics or questions for first dates, and what should be saved for subsequent dates? Always an interesting one.
What do you think?
We got someone looking for a formula here.
Oh, we love our formula seekers.
Should we give them our secret perfect formula?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. No, I mean, I think I love the curiosity about it, but and the engagement on it. And the first thing that popped up for me is, you know, that there really is no formula. If I'm looking to be, what I want in dating is to be genuine and authentic and truthful. That's that, you know, that rule again. Express and agree with the truth always.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're talking about the expression of the truth here, and the questions that are. That when I'm dating, the questions I want to ask are the ones that come up for me, are what I really want to know, and what would it really take for me to get to know this person. And that said, there's always an exploration to do of, like, what happens when the question that I want to ask is one that I'm afraid of what he's going to say?
Afraid to have it turned back on me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a question I wouldn't necessarily want to answer. So I agree with you. I think there's nothing off limits. I'm well aware that I, quote, unquote, shouldn't talk about politics, religion, money. You know, you hear those answers in society. But guess what? Religion's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been my thing to study, you know, prior to being a coach and trainer and administrator here. Politics, it matters to me what a person thinks. You know, like talking about the taboos are kind of what I do, actually. And I want to know sooner than later how we're going to, you know, come together on these, whether that's a clash or like a, oh, my gosh, I've never, you know, I have had conversations about some of those taboo things and had people say to me, you just said what I believe but never could have articulated for myself and I never hear anyone talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to not restrict myself to those opportunities. Now, it's great to feel special that way, but I wouldn't have had that chance if I had not just gone into the taboo entirely.
Totally. And my version of it is the taboo of talking about, you know, what you want in a relationship or what you want in your life,
related
to a relationship. I've got had a pattern of dating men who never want to get married or have children, but not finding out until
seven. Okay, so you know.
It's taboo to ask it. So, you know, of course, on a first date, I don't know if I want to get married to you. I don't know if I want to have children with you, but I do know I want that eventually. So for me, the taboo to break has been how can I get at this earlier so that I don't waste my time if that is ultimately what I'm looking for. And a lot of people would tell me and have told me, oh, my God, you asked that on the first date? That's crazy. And honestly, most of the time I don't, but because I'm scared, not because I don't think I should.
Yes.
I don't think there's any rule against it. And for me, it's a journey of, you know, how can I get myself to take the risks that I ultimately want to take, even when I'm afraid to?
Yeah. I'll throw in another thing here, which just comes from being trained as a coach and a group facilitator, mm-hmm. which is try something, see how it works. You know, you're always better off when you're in a position of influencing others or trying to generate conversation, movement, engagement, to try something, to make a mistake in the direction of movement as opposed to the direction of silence and not movement.
Yeah.
So, like, ask the question about babies, politics, in-laws, future in-laws, whatever it is, past relationships, and see what happens on the date. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's... And it goes way beyond, oh, God, I told him about my last relationship and he never called after that. That's way too simplistic an assessment. If you're going to take these risks on a date, you have to be prepared to observe exactly what happens as you're asking these questions. After you ask the question, what was their response? And
right.
and you will get better. It's a training exercise
yeah.
to notice, wow, did they lean in or did they lean back? Did they
yeah.
set their utensils down and really hone in and listen to
yeah.
me, or did they, you know, try to catch the waiter's eye? Like,
right.
you get really great, interesting data, and the perspective ought to be, or the one I will argue for anyway, is workability. Look at how I was just going to say it as a should, even as I'm telling
right.
you. I don't operate in shoulds, but
yeah.
if you can adopt this perspective of like, okay, wow, I shared that piece of data, it either seemed to work or didn't work
right.
for what I wanted to happen in
right.
the conversation and in the relationship.
Yeah, and another, I mean, that sort of brings up a whole other possibility, which is what we were talking about with Alicia. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I want to have deeper connection and more, you know, be more known, it starts with me. So
yeah.
so I would ask you, David, what do you want in being, you know, in asking questions on the first date? I'm imagining it's some of the same sort of I want to be known or I want to know this person. Well, the way that I usually accomplish that is by being more open myself.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just find that, you know, when I talk about, rather than saying, do you ever want to have babies? Do you want to get married? That if I just talk
that
about
it. That sounds so inviting.
That's exactly
Rachel.
How I say it, yeah.
babies. Sorry.
But I'm not embarrassed at all. But I find that if I talk about, you know, whatever is important to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
career, religion, politics, family, and then, you know, I just sort of open up a discussion, I often actually get the information that I'm
right.
wanting without asking directly. Back to workability.
Absolutely. That tends to get me more of what I want anyway in the end.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to be talking with my dates about the stuff of their life and the stuff of their visions.
Yeah.
So, yes, the more... I think as women, we often take the role of kind of opening those spaces in a conversation and seeing who walks in and wants to play.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, wonderful. That's a good question. Definitely some food for thought.
Definitely. I wonder if there's a rule to underscore that. We talked about expressing and agreeing with the truth. Maybe this is a good place for number one, accentuating the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've decided to have this totally open, wide-ranging conversation, and then what you do with it is you kind of sit there critically and let it, like, confirm your worst fears as a woman. If you let it
yeah.
confirm your worst fears about men, confirm your suspicions about this one in particular. You know, that's not going to make for a very satisfying experience. But if you can be in the conversation from the perspective of, like, what's cool about this person?
Right.
And I'm trying to seek out what's cool about them and underline it and enhance it. And when I find something I'm curious about and really want to go into, like, I listen to my gut on that and really let myself go into that territory,
mm-hmm.
I think is an exercise in accentuating the positive and affirming whoever you're with for that, whatever
mm-hmm.
you find is cool, which is vulnerable in its own way.
It is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for the question, David.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you listen. And feel free to send your questions to us. Also, we would love to have you check out The Heart of the Fight for yourself. It's already shipping if you order it by pre-order on Amazon. You can also check out The Heart of the Fight website, which is heartofthefight.com. Or does it have the at the beginning?
Try the heart of the fight.com, heartofthefight.com, I believe. They'll get you to the same place. And then we have one special opportunity coming up live. You can actually attend our book launch event with Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright just after Valentine's Day. I like that because it's not so loaded. But we will be having our official Chicago launch of The Heart of the Fight on February 18th here in downtown Chicago. It'll be at the Embassy Suites Lakeshore Lakefront, the one that's east of Lake Michigan. And you can get more info on that at rightleaderevent.com. All the info is there. So thanks for joining us again today. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, for another show on singles and dating. And feel free to send your questions in the meantime. Thanks so much.